You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. I'm going to expand upon last show because I really didn't have enough time to get into the WikiLeaks, CIA, the release of the CIA documents, so-called Vault 7. What it's about is the Central Intelligence Agency, which spies, they spy for the United States, primarily abroad, although a lot of people suspect they're spying in the United States as well. They develop a set of tools that enables people that work for them to break in to computer systems. Now, that can be on a cell phone, that can be on a computer, such as a Windows system, it can be on a television set, such as Samsung. And what they do is turn it into a bug. In other words, what if you have that device, doesn't even have to be turned on, you might have thought you turned it off, but if it's still running, actually it should be running, but if electricity is going through it, they're listening. Big Brother is listening. Now, you want such tools. Now, let me make clear, this is very, very useful if you're spying on people. Let's say you want to target a person, let's say the Putin, for example, or one of his generals, and you know that he has a cell phone or a computer, and because you develop this software, you can turn his computer, his cell phone, television set, any electronic consumer good could be turned into a bugging device. Not all, but many of them. And the way to think of it, if you were a thief trying to break into a house, a professional thief, you typically have some tools. Lock picks for is the obvious thing, where you can pick locks fairly quickly. And the CIA does train its agents to pick locks. That's part of their basic training. But what we're really talking about is breaking into computers and turning them into listening devices. And maybe even recording video. We don't know. But what's significant about this, and this is a huge scandal, this is the biggest scandal in the intelligence community. This even is, in my mind, and in many people that follow this, the last big scandal was Ed Snowden, when he released what documents that really confirmed what many people suspected, is that the National Security Agency, and don't confuse the National Security Agency with the CIA, the WikiLeaks dump, if you will, exposure of 8,761 documents. And they say this is just a small percentage of all the documents they have. Now, they have not released the source code, and that's important. And they are going to provide companies such as Microsoft, Google, Samsung, and others information, because the last thing people want is other people to be able to break into their system and steal files. What we're talking about is not just listening, it's the tools that can be used to steal all the information that's on your computer. And this is the entire arsenal, it's in terms of software. and that's the CIA. In the past, the experts in this field are the National Security Agency, because the National Security Agency, unlike the CIA, is responsible for signals intelligence. In other words, intercepting messages. And most of the time, they are encrypted, coded. Of foreign governments, we target the military, the heads of governments, our enemies, as well as our friends abroad. And we're intercepting messages that go over the internet. Anything that goes over the internet today, including this show, the podcast of it, anything that you put out on the internet, where you use the internet, the National Security Agency has a copy of it. And should you ever become a target, what does the National Security Agency do? Because this information is scattered amongst hundreds of different servers. What they do is query this huge, I call it a database. What they're doing is called data mining. They accumulate all that information in a dossier, and then they assign an intelligence analyst to it, and then try to understand, first of all, what information they have. And this is all your emails, financial statements, bank statements, phone calls, videos, anything that you've communicated over the internet. That's how they intercept it. Because when you send a message, let's say an email, eventually it gets on a fiber optic cable, and at some point it's split. They split the traffic, and one of the routes that it's split to is the National Security Agency, one of their data centers, and they have several located in the United States. That is all the National Security Agency. And they are responsible for developing this software that enables them not only to intercept your messages, but to break in to computer systems, devices is a better word to say. And this includes cars, by the way, your microwave oven, any device that is a computer, and many devices today, almost all devices today are computers. So they have tools. So they have, just on categories, they have over 500 categories. And it enables, that's the CIA, I don't want to confuse you. The capability that the CIA has, the National Security Agency has, because their primary task is interception of what? Communications. And they are the more sophisticated agency, until we learn that the CIA separately has developed, and there's a certain duplication here, and one of people are questioning, wait a minute, we're paying the National Security Agency to intercept messages, and that costs money. We're talking a lot of people here, a lot of money, but then the same capability is developed by the CIA. Yes, it is. Why? It's like any bureaucracy. They're protective of their turf, and they don't want to be dependent on another agency. Because prior to this, the understanding was if the CIA needed a certain tool to break into a system, that they would go to the National Security Agency. Well, apparently, internally to the CIA, and there's an org chart on this show, you can look at it, of the CIA and the division that does this. Now, I want to highlight right now what's going on. The FBI is forming up a task force to find out who leaked this information. And whoever did, as far as I'm concerned, is a traitor. He should be captured, and he's going to spend a lot of time, maybe his life, in prison. Because this gives the enemies of the United States our entire arsenal. Weapons, if you think. And these are very much weapons. They're software, and that's what makes it dangerous. You know, the big fear is nuclear proliferation. The reason you don't have a lot of nations with nuclear weapons, it's expensive to develop them. And even if you develop them and weaponize them, it's an ongoing expense. So most nations can't afford it. Doesn't make sense. So only a few nations, the largest ones, have it. Obviously, Russia, the United States, the United Kingdom, China, India, Pakistan, Israel, and I think the Islamic Republic of Iran has them, but they haven't tested them, and they haven't downsized them yet, but who knows? So there's several nations that have nuclear weapons, but a lot of nations have said, no, we're not going to waste our money or our people's money on this. It's just too expensive. And the other thing is, you don't really want to use them. If you know, if some foreign, let's say, and God forbid, that the Islamic Republic gets nuclear weapons and they launch them either on Europe, Israel, or the United States, what's going to happen to Iran? The United States is going to launch nuclear weapons and destroy and kill a lot of people. That's why you don't want to do it. Because, yeah, you can attack the United States, but the response is going to be devastating to you. They're going to kill you and your people. That's why it's very expensive. You need the technology, the know-how to do it. Now, it's available if you are a good physics major, and it's not easy, but people, because nuclear weapons have been around since 1940, four, five, and there's a lot of information online. But if you should develop a weapon and set it off in the United States in a city, and it can be determined who did it, who are the suspects, and proven, the United States will respond. I have no doubt about that. And we have thousands of nuclear warheads. Now, the United States hasn't used nuclear weapons since the two we used over Japan. And we used them over Japan, and I agreed with it, really to save lives of both American soldiers and Japanese, because Japan surrendered after the second bomb. It took a second bomb to do that. They didn't want to surrender, and they weren't going to surrender, but once they saw the devastation of those two bombs, they surrendered. Now, I'm bringing up nuclear weapons because of the expense. This is our entire arsenal of hacking and malware tools used to break in, compromise computer devices, whether it's a computer, a cell phone, electronic device, game stations, you name it. If it's a computer, they probably have a tool to get into it. And they're developing these tools. The CIA is separate from the National Security Agency. Now, I want you to listen to Julian Assange. He gave a press conference. It's over an hour. I'm not going to play the entire press conference, but I wanted to play the very beginning of it, and we'll see how long I play it. This is Julian Assange. He's in the news. He has this sort of like platinum blonde white hair. He's been in the Ecuadorian consulate because if he steps out of it, he'll get arrested in the United Kingdom and sent to Sweden, where there are open charges for rape. And the reason why he doesn't want to go to Sweden, now, he denies the charges, and I'm not judging that, alleged rape. But his fear is if he goes to Sweden, Sweden will hand him over to the United States. And if he gets into the United States, they're going to throw the book at him because he has a history of doing what? Releasing U.S. State Department, military, and now the CIA documents. So the U.S. government really wants to get their hands on Julian Assange, and if the Ecuadorian government changes hands, he might be kicked out of that consulate and be on his way to the United States, because the United Kingdom, I think what they would do is send him to Sweden, and then he would be extradited to the United States. In other words, he's running out of places to hide. And should that happen, I hope he enjoys staying there. He's been there several years. So I want to give you that background. I'm not a fan of WikiLeaks, but they have done something very important. They've made the United States, its citizens, aware of what's going on, as well as foreign governments. And it's embarrassed the United States. Let's just, without further ado, let's play the opening of the press conference.
Publication of confidential documents on the agency. In fact, the collection of some 8,761 documents, which we published on Tuesday, is already the largest publication of confidential documents on the agency. The material comes from an isolated, that means disconnected from other computer systems.
Let me explain that. If you're working for the CIA and are working on classified documents, and they are all day long, you don't have access to the internet. It's isolated. It's a separate network that you use to do your job with no internet connection at all.
Top secret security network situated inside the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence. Now, that center is both in Virginia, but also, importantly, there is a branch hidden inside the Frankfurt Consulate in Germany. We've put out some aerial shots of that and the details from our publications about how CIA officers are instructed to penetrate German customs and operate there to develop attacks and support attacks across Europe, Africa, and the Middle East from the Frankfurt Consulate.
Let me add some information. The cover, usually if you're a CIA agent and working in a foreign country, you have what's called cover, diplomatic cover. You're given a black passport, and your cover story is you're an attaché in the embassy or consulate, depending on where you're located. In other words, you don't have a passport that says CIA, and they have to get their cover story down. But usually it's wink, wink, nod, nod that the host country knows that there's a CIA station in Frankfurt. Actually, it's a center.
Now, it's already come out as a result of our earlier publications. I'll go into reactions and updates quickly, but the Central Intelligence Agency lost control of its entire cyber weapons arsenal. What do I mean by cyber weapons? Those are weaponized viruses, trojans, and malware designed to penetrate the smartphones, smart TVs, computer systems of the world, and then control them, disable them, insert information to them, extract information from them. Now, this is a historic act of devastating incompetence to have created such an arsenal and stored it all in one place and not secured it. WikiLeaks discovered the material as a result of it being passed around a number of different members of the US intelligence community out of control in an unauthorized fashion. Just yesterday we've had a tip-off from a virus researcher who says that he believes that one of the viruses whose descriptions we had published that infects Apple Macintoshes, in particular their UEFI boot system, that he was attacked by that. So it looks like not only is that material being spread around contractors and former American computer hackers for hire, but now may be in the black market, or is perhaps being used by these American hackers who sometimes, you know, cross both sides of the fence. They're called gray hats. To attacking others. So the CIA developed a giant arsenal, what appears to be the largest arsenal of Trojans and viruses in the world, that attacks most of the systems that journalists, people in government, politicians, CEOs, and average people use, didn't secure it, lost control of it. And then
a key point here, this is a huge scandal. This is incompetence of the first order. The CIA develops an arsenal. I don't think he's not exaggerating here. What's mind-boggling to me is the sheer scope of this and didn't secure it. Supposedly, anywhere I was listening to a news report that people have sources in the CIA, reporters, commentators. What we're talking about is anywhere from 200 to 2,000 people had access to this. And yes, the FBI is now trying to figure out who of those, whatever that number is, and that's a large number in of itself. Doesn't surprise me of the number. I would say several hundred. If you asked me to guess, I'd say probably several hundred. But you see, we're not just talking CIA employees. It's contractors, because you need people with special skill sets. It's not just programming. It's people that, and you want that skill, but people specialize in breaking into computers and either extracting the information, that's usually what you want, or destroying the information. It's amazing that you would develop this and not secure it. Because what do you use this tool? You're breaking into other people's computers to get information, and now you left the door open. That's what we're talking about, leaving the door open. And apparently one or more people, we don't know, and I think it's people that either current or former employees or contractors, subcontractors of the CIA. And apparently it's a big list. And it was spread around amongst the hacking community, and it is a community. So you have the white hats. Those are people that hack in to test your security. You have the black hats. They're the bad guys that break in. Usually, well, you have different motivations here. Criminals want to steal money or merchandise. And they're probably one of the largest group, if not the largest group. The other are governments trying to break into other governments' computer systems. They're hackers. And the danger, unlike nuclear weapons, these are, you can put it on a flash drive and you can send it around quickly in seconds. It spreads. Talk about proliferation. If someone sends this source code around or sells it, it's worth a lot of money. Because what? The U.S. taxpayers had the CIA and its budgets developing all this. It's probably one of the biggest scandals, and it happened in the Obama administration from 2013 to 2016. It's amazing. It's stunning in its scope. And yeah, they want to go after WikiLeaks, but who is responsible here? The president, the director of national intelligence, the CIA director, and the people under him. Now, because of the nature of the subject, you think we're going to have public hearings on this? No. Oh, there'll be oversight. Intelligence committees will hold hearings saying, what in God's name went on? You developed all these tools. We understand your need for the tools and your motivation, but you didn't protect them? You didn't vet the very people that are using it? And to make sure that they were not able to, you know, take it home on a flash drive? No one knows how they got it out, although they probably will find out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is huge. It's a huge, huge scandal of the first order, first magnitude, and it threatens you and me. Because these tools now, if they get in the wrong hands, and I think they're already in the wrong hands, can be used on your computer, any computer, smartphone, television set. It's tools that, for example, if you're a professional thief breaking in the house, you have tools. Well, now, if you break in the computer and have these source code and know how to use it, you're a hacker. And it's a rather specialized community, but there are people that, some are kids that do it. And government computers have been compromised. Imagine a kid now that has these tools. It's like opening a candy store. Go take what you want. And you better believe that the developers of these operating systems, Microsoft, Google, other computer, Apple, they're concerned. Because their computers can be compromised by these tools. Let me continue with Julian Assange.
Appears to have covered up that fact. See some press reportage, and we've detected some things as well, that the Central Intelligence Agency became aware within the last couple of months that it had lost that material, or that we had that material, and has not disclosed that, to the public at least.
Now, they weren't going to disclose it. This is more than an embarrassing. This is a crime. You want to be tracking down whoever did it. You don't want to tip off. But it did. So I'm not surprised that the CIA covered it up. But they didn't alert, apparently, the software manufacturers that develop these systems that are, in turn, targeted by these tools.
Has not warned the public that those loose cyber weapons arsenal is out there. It's a very interesting question, I think, about who it has told in government and when. Did it tell Barack Obama? Did Barack Obama conceal that during the election, after the election? Was President Donald Trump informed? And if so, why has the Central Intelligence Agency not acted with speed to come together with Apple, Microsoft, and other manufacturers to defend us all from its own weapon systems? Now, this brings into question the entire concept of cyber warfare, because it is our analysis, and stated also by many other experts, that it is impossible to keep effective control of cyber weapons. So what does that mean? Well, it means that if you build them, eventually you will lose them. They are just information. There's no barrier for them spreading across the world. They must be used on the internet. So they must be placed on the internet to be used. They must go to computers to infect them. And therefore, when that occurs, they can get out of control. And there's a very easy cover for any grey market operator, contractor, or rogue intelligence agent to take that material and start a company with it, start a consulting company, a hacker for hire company. Now, we're very fortunate in this case that our sources step forward to us so we can tell you what has been going on. And so the various manufacturers like Apple, Google, and so on can start to develop countermeasures. Now, some of those countermeasures have already been put in place, according to the manufacturers, in response to this. One or two virus companies also say that they have developed countermeasures. But others say that they need more information. Now, WikiLeaks has not published any cyber weapons themselves. We've published documents describing them. Why? It's fairly obvious. We don't want the journalists and people of the world and our sources being hacked using these weapons. But the problem is that with limited information about the details of how those cyber weapons operate, there is a limited ability to try and produce security fixes for iPhones, for Samsung TVs, for Android phones that are produced by Google, for Microsoft and for Linux, because the exact technical details are not known. Now, WikiLeaks has a lot more information on what has been going on with the cyber weapons program. And so I want to announce today that after considering what we think is the best way to proceed and hearing these calls from some of the manufacturers, we have decided to work with them to give them some exclusive access to the additional technical details we have so that fixes can be developed and pushed out so people can be secured. And then once this material is effectively disarmed by us, by removing critical components, we will publish additional details about what has been occurring. Now, I want to draw attention to a statement that the president of Microsoft has put out. And this is something that we have been working on as well, and that a great many others have been calling for. So here is the quote. "Just as the Fourth Geneva Convention has long protected civilians in times of war, we now need a digital Geneva Convention that will commit governments to protecting civilians from nation-state attacks in times of peace. And just as the Fourth Geneva Convention recognized that the protection of civilians required the active involvement of the Red Cross, protection against nation-state cyber attacks requires the active assistance of technology companies and companies like WikiLeaks, which can provide information about these attacks. The tech sector plays a unique role in the internet's as the internet's first responders, and we therefore should commit ourselves to a collective action which will make the internet a safer place, affirming the role, our role, as a neutral digital Switzerland that assists people all over the world to be secure." So now I will go on to some questions. First of all, I confess this is one from me. Does WikiLeaks have a position on this sort of material? Well, WikiLeaks has a position on publishing in general. We fight for the rights of publishers to publish. We fight for the rights of sources to be protected. And we fight for media accuracy, having obtained a perfect record in the last 10 years. It's one of our comparative advantages. But otherwise, we don't have a position on particular issues that we're publishing about. But in this case, we do have a position. We have a position because these types of cyber weapons are used to attack the communication technology that journalists use to communicate with their sources and with each other. The sorts of technology that investigative reporters reporting on the national security sector, reporting on war crimes, use to communicate their information within their media organization and back and forth with their sources. For example, the New York Times has put up a tip line that is based upon the Signal protocol. Now, Signal is a good encryption system for mobile smartphones. But what's the problem? Well, if you control the smartphones, it doesn't matter how good the encryption system is. So Signal and Telegram, from that perspective, can simply be bypassed by attacking the endpoints, attacking one of the telephones belonging to the source or one of the telephones belonging to the journalist. And the New York Times has a central tip line, one phone, that all its tips go to for the Signal protocol. And of course, that phone can be hacked. It doesn't matter what the security system is. As a result, you see the numbers coming into it, and you see the messages exchanged. So WikiLeaks does have a position. We want to secure communications technology because without secure communications technology, journalists are not able to effectively hold the state to account. Is WikiLeaks' protections for its sources, are they affected by this? No, they're not affected, not directly. Why is that? Well, because we're specialists in this area. We're specialists in source protection. And I've known in general about this type of problem for a long time. So our systems are developed to not be exposed. They're not based on smartphones, for example. We have specialized cryptography. There's not susceptible to these types of attacks. On the other hand, are our lawyers susceptible to these types of attacks? Yes, they are. A lot of them are susceptible to these types of attacks. Are our key security staff? No, because we understand that. But we want to protect all our staff and the rights of journalists and sources to communicate effectively. Okay, so that's my question. Now I go into the others. It's a question from CNN. As long as these are overseas targets, isn't it legal for the CIA to do this? Well, first of all, I just like to, it's a legally important question in the United States, but there are many questions that might be asked by CNN, one that seems to defend the interests of the CIA, I think is a bit problematic, has been the first question to ask. The answer is this. Unfortunately, the CIA does have a history of attacking not only the political parties operating overseas. We just published how the Central Intelligence Agency issued instructions to its staff to penetrate the last French election cycle in 2012, last French presidential election. It has a habit of behaving badly inside the United States as well. Now, that's an extensive habit going on for years. Most recently, in 2014, the CIA was denounced by the US Senate Intelligence Committee because it had hacked their investigation in Congress. into the CIA torture program and had used its hackers to retrieve documents that the Senate Intelligence Committee had, evidencing what the Central Intelligence Agency did in terms of torture.
I'm going to leave it there because I have another story that I want to cover, or series of stories. We're just in the early stages of this. In terms of the U.S. government response, it's the hunt for the mole or the leaker of these documents. And that's going to take some time. Do I think ultimately the FBI will find the person? I think they will. But it's going to take time and it's going to take a break. But I wanted to step back from it. Why did this happen? You see, when you depend on government, they will let you down. The biggest intelligence failure of the United States was 9-1-1. The CIA let the American people down. So did the National Security Agency. If they truly had been doing their job, it never would have happened. It never should have happened, but it did happen. And one of the reasons, if you read the 9-1-1 Commission report, is the problem of stovepiping, where bureaucracies, organizations, it's not only in government, but also in the corporate world, really where an organization internally will share information up and down the chain of command to varying degrees, but they will not share it with other organizations. And that becomes a real problem when you're talking intelligence and actionable intelligence, because one agency, whether it's the CIA, the National Security Agency, the FBI, or there are 16 intelligence entities, organizations involved here under the Director of National Intelligence, might have a piece of the puzzle, and that's a good way to look at it. And if you're not sharing information, well, you got a piece of the puzzle. That's it. That if you had shared it, someone else would say, you know, that's related to this. And then a third or fourth party can add, and before you know it, you figured out what's going on. So you want a sharing of intelligence. But the more you share, the more you run the risk of the information being compromised and the privacy of an individual being compromised that's really not, shouldn't be a target. In other words, he's not a terrorist. He's a law-abiding citizen that just because he's made some phone calls is caught up in this and suspected. So you have one issue is the constitutional issue of the Fourth Amendment and privacy. In the United States, a warrant is required. In other words, they have to present information that justifies a warrant being given to law enforcement to search your, for example, home. We don't have what's called a general warrant. In other words, you go literally from house to house trying to find something. That was the problem in the American Revolution. Now, when you're dealing with foreign intelligence, you don't go to a regular court. You go to what's called a FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that's kept secret. You're not aware of it. And in very, very few cases is it ever turned out. But it is a warrant. So they, in that instance, they can intercept your email. In other words, you don't know, but they are invading your privacy. So that's two situations, but you have a third. And this is the National Security Agency under an executive order 12333, in which without a warrant, a warrantless search, that's what we're talking about. And that's what's happening as I speak. All the information, not only of American citizens, but citizens of the world, country after country, to the extent that it goes through our internet. And it's not just the internet, but that's the biggie, is collected and stored on these servers. And at some future date, if they want to target an individual, they will data mine, they will query or ask questions and gather and aggregate that information to build a dossier and then look for connections. Who are your friends? Who do you interact with? Who's your girlfriend? Who do you have any problems? What they're looking for, first of all, is leverage. That's a nice way of saying dirt, material that could be embarrassing to you, or maybe you're engaged in illegal activity. You might be an alcoholic or a drug user or a prostitute or a homosexual, or you're having an affair on your wife. There's a lot of information that can be gleaned on your communications and your telephone. Who are you telephoning? And it's not just the metadata, it's also the conversations. They got everything. You know, the reference to Big Brother is George Orwell's 1984. This is way beyond the imagination of even George Orwell. It is very much a turnkey tyranny. Because if you have unscrupulous people heading the government, in the government, they can turn it on on their political enemies. And what's scary about this, they're not going to go to a regular court if it were criminal behavior. That's where they should go and get a warrant. If it's foreign intelligence, they're not going to go to a FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court. They're just going to do it because the president and people under him have made you a target. You're a suspected terrorist, a suspected spy, a suspected leaker. But where it gets dangerous, it's your political opponents. You go after your political enemies or people that are expressing opinions that are critical of you and your administration. And there's been a series of press reports based on anonymous intelligence community sources that there were so-called wiretaps. They've now changed it to internet interceptions, I think is the phrase they're changing their story to. And Donald Trump, President Trump, has accused Barack Obama of wiretapping computers, servers in his tower. And when was this done? 3 weeks before the election. Now, why? Now, I'll engage a little in speculation, but it's not original to me. Hillary Clinton was falling in the polls, even though, if you listen to the press, she was going to win. At least they thought she was going to win. But towards election day, Donald Trump was moving up. He had the momentum. See, I think the president ordered, not wiretap, and not directly, by the way. And people are caught up saying, well, only a judge can order. Well, yes, that's true. If it's a criminal investigation, a judge has to sign the order. If it's a FISA investigation involving national security, a judge has to sign the order. In other words, the president can't do that. Now, what the former, this Sunday, the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, said, well, I never saw a FISA order to wiretap. I'm not quoting him directly, and I should have had a clip. But I played that clip a couple of shows ago. So he's saying two really conflicting things. One, there's no such order. Two, we found nothing. And I raised it on this show. Well, wait a minute. If you found nothing, how do you know that? If you weren't either criminally investigating Trump or his associates or investigating him under a FISA order, and there's a paper trail here. And remember, this is coming from the press. Now, the press said, well, where's Donald Trump's evidence? Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? What they're forgetting, folks, is the president doesn't need to go to a court, a regular court or a FISA court, a criminal court, if you will, or a FISA or foreign intelligence surveillance court. He can just order it. And the NSA can intercept, use the similar tools that the CIA used. Doesn't necessarily have to go through the National Security Agency. It could be the Central Intelligence Agency. That's the danger of, first of all, having the capability. The president has that capability, and you can check it out. And he expanded, because of the stovepiping problem, he expanded who in the intelligence community had access. They have to request information from the National Security Agency, but he expanded it. So you have more people having access to the National Security Agency's information. I can understand why you do that. What is the potential scandal here if President Obama ordered either the National Security Agency or the CIA to see if there was any interference by Trump? And apparently the answer that came back, whoever did this, the National Security Agency or the CIA, I don't think it was the FBI, by the way, and that's why Comey is upset. It's really probably the CIA or the NSA. Take your pick that did this. They came up empty, and that's why the president said there's nothing there. Yet what is the press doing over and over? CNN is doing it today. The Russian connection to Trump. What should be explored is a complete investigation, and that's what President Trump has demanded by Congress investigating this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a scandal of the first order, and that's what you're not hearing in big lie media. I don't have time to get into the second story. I'll do that tomorrow, and that is about President Obama setting up an organization to subvert the President of the United States. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.